It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Health officials in Milwaukee confirmed the third case of measles in Wisconsin this year as national and local health officials are urging residents to get vaccinated against the infectious airborne disease.
Yesterday, Milwaukee's health commissioner told reporters about a Walworth County resident who flew through Mitchell International Airport late last month. At least six Wisconsin travelers were potentially exposed to the virus.
This comes as 4,000 people may have been exposed to measles in late January after a student at UW-Madison contracted the disease.
Wisconsin's kindergarten vaccination rate sits below 85%, according to the latest immunization data from the state's Department of Health Services. Herd immunity to the virus would come at a 95% vaccination rate or higher.
There were 2,200 measles cases nationwide last year, the highest total in over 30 years. That count is already over 700 for this year. The White House has sent mixed signals on vaccines in recent months, but Medicare and Medicaid services head Dr. Mehmet Oz urged people to get vaccinated in an interview with CNN Sunday.
And as a doctor, your message to people about the measles vaccine
is? Take the vaccine, please. We have a solution for a problem. Not all illnesses are equally dangerous and not all people equally susceptible to those illnesses, but measles is one you should get your vaccine.
Dr. Mary Beth Graham joins us now. She's an internal medicine and infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin and the medical director of infection prevention and control at Friedrich Hospital. Dr. Graham, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we had a little outbreak in Oconto County last year, 36 confirmed cases. Now we've got three confirmed cases in different places in the state. How concerning is this?
The issue is that I think the upside and the good part of the three cases that we've seen is that we haven't seen a lot of secondary spread like we did in Oconto County. So for the cases up there, there was a large cluster versus if you look at UW, basically over at the UW campus, I have not heard that there have been secondary cases identified, et cetera. So that's the good part. So I'm gonna look at the glass half full on that.
Why are we seeing cases reemerge now around the country? People are watching, I think, South Carolina as the latest state to see a big outbreak. Why are we seeing measles popping up so much?
So in the year 2000, I believe it was, they considered measles eradicated in the United States. And basically that's related to the number of cases that were being seen nationwide. Last year in 2025, Canada lost their measles eradication status. The number of cases of measles in Canada was more than twice the number that were seen in the United States in 2025. And essentially you need to see ongoing numbers of cases for at least 12 months in a row that you're seeing this continuing to increase. And the U.S. is probably, I haven't seen an official saying we've lost our designation of measles eradication, but I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen that yet because Canada did lose theirs and we will lose ours also. Why does that happen? If we look at it, as you mentioned in the lead up to this, what's been looked at is measles is incredibly infectious, and it's different than other respiratory type viruses. So if you look at influenza and you say, okay, with influenza, if you have that, how many people around you will become ill? And so they'll say they have these numbers that really smart statisticians have figured out called RO numbers and say, yeah, it's probably like two or three people if they're close contact could potentially, versus for measles, if you've got it, they're saying anywhere 15, 18, so many patients that, you know, individuals would be if they're in that same closed air space for X amount of time. The virus sticks around. It is a small particle. It can remain floating in the air for up to 2 hours after somebody is in an enclosed airspace. It can be on an area, it can be on surfaces. So again, this is why it is probably our most contagious infectious disease that we see. Pertussis is another one that's really, really quite contagious, but it's a bacteria, not a virus. What you need in order to mitigate contracting measles is immunity. Whether you've gotten that immunity because you had the disease previously, or you have immunity because you've been vaccinated, those are the two ways that you can mitigate risk.
Now, what are the symptoms of measles we should be watching for in ourselves or our kids?
So most of the time when they talk about symptoms of measles, if you look at it, number one, what we want people to understand is that we want to put it in the context of potential risk of exposure. So usually symptoms will occur within 7 to 14 days of an exposure. High fever is very, very classic. High fever associated with a cough, runny nose, red eyes, starts out first, and then a rash will start to develop 3 to 5 days after those initial symptoms. And it's a very distinctive rash. It starts on the face, usually at the hairline, and then can spread down over the face, then to the rest of the body. We've had people talk about these things called white spots in your mouth called Koplik spots. Those are difficult. I would say probably most physicians have never seen them. I've never seen it. And the issue is that they aren't 100% universal, but that high fever in that initial stage, which can last 1 to 3 days, followed by the rash that is like 3 to 5 days, is really, really classic. And essentially, somebody remains contagious for 4 days after the rash appears. So when they are beyond 4 or 5 days after the rash has started, then they're considered no longer contagious.
Dr. Mary Beth Graham is with us from the Medical College of Wisconsin and Friedrich Hospital talking about measles outbreaks around the country. Few cases lately here in Wisconsin. Dr. Graham, sometimes you talk about a vaccine. We're talking about, you know, reducing your odds, a little extra protection. It seems like, as a layperson, the measles vaccine is pretty on target, right? And when I look at numbers of, in an outbreak, vaccinated people versus unvaccinated people, the vaccine seems like it makes a big difference, right?
Correct. I mean, if you look at the data for 2025 for the United States, 4% of those who were identified with measles had had 2 shots of the vaccine, and I think it was like a 3 to 4% had had 1 shot of the vaccine. So if you look at it, it was well over 90% of individuals who contracted and presented with measles were unvaccinated. It's a very good vaccine, and lifelong immunity is considered with it up to 97%+ protection from the vaccine.
I wanted to ask you about that lifelong immunity. It's a question that's come up around the workplace, even, Dr. Graham. We've heard that, hey, if you've had vaccines before a certain age and it was like only a one-dose vaccine or something, maybe some grown-ups should get revaccinated. What's going on there?
So that's a really, you know, so when Oconee County, and actually we've dealt with measles before, back in 2019, there was actually quite a surge of measles across the United States, but then COVID came along and people isolated and we kind of saw it go away. And then it says, okay, I'm back. So if we look at measles and, you know, and for people with regards to, you know, with vaccination, vaccination hesitancy has been going on for a long time, and you need about 95% of the population to be vaccinated in order for that mitigation. And so what we see across the United States, there's only a handful of states which have that 95%+ vaccination rate, but they still saw cases of measles. So California was one of those that has 95%+ vaccination rate. They still saw cases. Wisconsin is in the bottom 5 states in the nation with regards to our vaccine rates, with our vaccination rates in the 83-85%, somewhere around there.
And so that grown-up, wondering if they should get revaccinated, how do they make that decision? Or are you saying that's not the priority here?
Well, getting kids vaccinated is number one. I would say for an adult, CDC says if you've had 2 shots of the vaccine, you are considered immunized. There are a lot of people that are concerned about that. So what a lot of primary care providers have done is they've checked measles antibody to see if they are present, and then offered a single shot to revaccinate somebody if they don't have a demonstrable titer. I would say that for the individuals that I would consider that for is if they are going to be international. So if somebody's going to international travel and they're coming in for their other vaccines for that, and even if they're born before 1957 and considered immune, they should have a serious conversation with whomever is doing their travel consultation and say, okay, fine, We can check this and then we could immunize you. If you don't have a contraindication to getting a live virus vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine is a live virus vaccine. And there are certain individuals that should avoid those types of vaccines, like somebody who has had a solid organ transplant, or severely immunocompromised patients who are undergoing chemotherapy treatment, who their immune system is down. You want to avoid those live virus vaccines.
And Dr. Graham, in our last minute, I think some people might say, measles, you don't want it, but there's worse diseases. Make the case that, in fact, we should be taking measles seriously.
If you look at it, again, it's one of those things where the number of deaths in 2025 from measles, it was 3. If you look at the number of deaths related to influenza, it's in the tens of thousands of individuals who died, okay? But again, if you look at it, there can be really, really serious complications for measles for individuals with regards to brain inflammation. Again, it's not that common, but we just say, I look at it and with people say, not that many people died and this, and people don't end up in the hospital, so why should I worry about it? You don't know if you're going to be one of those who has that. It is a safe, effective vaccine. So why don't you do this and not have the risk for this? The biggest risk we really look at is for young children. So if you have individuals, especially, young children, those who aren't at the age where they can get the vaccine yet, we really want to protect them too. It's not just about you. It's about all those people around you too.
Dr. Graham, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Mary Beth Graham, internal medicine and infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin and medical director of infection prevention and control at Friedrich Hospital, with us to look at the risk of measles with outbreaks around the country, a third case announced here in Wisconsin. By the way, Friedrich and Medical College of Wisconsin are business sponsors of Wisconsin Public Radio.